Well, good morning, everyone. It is a joyous occasion to think of our Lord's faithfulness always to us individually and our families. I'm sure that each of you could look back at your family life and history and how the Lord has come alongside you time after time after time, even though there are certainly occasions of sorrow and affliction and challenge when we at that moment may wonder, Lord, where are you in this? We look back and go, yep, there he was. There he, as he brought his word to bear, brought brothers and sisters in Christ to bear, or even just circumstances to bear, to guide you to where he would have you to go, into a place that is a place of blessing and not despair. Well, 10 years ago plus, there were, as Brother Engel reminded us, there was a desire here for an organized body that would be established as a testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ here. And when I remember getting the call, it took place at a time in our denomination's history when there was difficulties, there were some challenges going on the national level of things that impacted PMU's ability to function and so on. So we were looking for opportunities to spread out a bit and figure out how we could keep everything going. And so we were looking at church planting opportunities, and we looked at all kinds of places. We looked at Southern California. You think, well, there's lots of churches in Southern California. Yes, but there was a number of places down there where there were kind of holes where there was no faithful Reformed witness. And so we were looking at Corona, California. Another place we were looking at was Bismarck, North Dakota. Yes, there was a need there. There was no Reformed witness there that was at least conservative. West Texas. Yeah, West Texas. Hot and dry. Yeah. Had some appeals there. We were thinking about it. Another place which was getting closer to my heart, which was Northwest Oregon, in that corridor basically from Pendleton down through the Baker City and all of that. They're all in the 84 corridor. And thought about doing like an itinerant ministry of setting up smaller churches to which I would go around and care for numerous ones. That's kind of in my background. I have an itinerant pastor of was my great-grandfather. So that kind of appealed to me. But in the midst of all of that discussion, we were talking about the PMU, we get this call from this guy named Jim Engel, who was known to Pastor Huff and known also to Pastor Fisher, both of whom are on the council for PMU. And so they contacted me, and at the time I was laboring in New York there running PMU, and I got this call, and I looked at Bonner's Ferry, and years before, when I had been working in Tacoma and also in Oregon, we would drive through Bonner's Ferry every year, every summer, going up to camp in western Montana. And every time we'd come through here, see the old barber ship, now it's gone, quirky thing, it reminds you of this uniqueness of this place. Anyway, go down the hill, hit the river valley in the old bus with all the kids. And so because it was an old bus, I had plenty of time as it crossed the river valley, labored up the hill. But I'd look across and think, oh, Lord, this would be, what an awesome place this would be to live. I'd love to live here someday. Never dreaming that the Lord would actually grant that desire of my heart. So anyway, we got the call, came out, met with some of the families to begin with, had two or three meetings, and then came out in June. And in June of 2010, I believe it was June 27th, I had it on top of these notes, I preached the first sermon that I ever preached in Bonner's Ferry. It was on June 27th. And I'm going to preach that same message today. Seemed appropriate. Now, at the time, I was preaching about prayer, and this message I had pulled from a series on prayer, and it seemed appropriate at the time. I'm not going to be talking so much about prayer today. The points themselves lend themselves to many other things besides prayer. But we're going to look at Psalm 122. Psalm 122. And I'd ask, as you're able, to stand with me for the reading of God's holy word. Psalm 122. It's entitled, A Song of Ascents of David. I was glad when they said to me, Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There, thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, Peace be within you. For the sake of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. God adds His blessing to the reading of His Word. Please be seated. So I think you can probably tell, as you're getting settled there, from the closing verses, why I looked at this text long ago as something that would be appropriate to talk about prayer and praying for the peace of Jerusalem and so on. But what I want to really take note of here, even though the thesis is powerful prayer comes from united hearts, I really want to focus on the united hearts aspect. Because not just powerful prayer comes from united hearts, so does a powerful testimony, a powerful service one to each other, a powerful ability to exalt the Lord as we are united together in our love for Him and our commitment to Him and our commitment to the institutions that He has established. And particularly, you will notice here, the establishing of certainly the worship of the temple is in view here, and actually it's of David, it'd be the tabernacle, and Jerusalem as a place of not just gathering and fellowship, but also governing and establishing of the nation to accomplish its work. One of the things that has been a prayer of mine almost every single Sunday, I'm pretty sure, when we sit down at the Lord's table and in those quiet moments as the bread is being distributed, Christ's body broken for us, broken to open a way of access to the Lord, but the irony of it, that Christ's body was broken for us that you and I might be made whole. And I pray, as I sit in that chair, that the Lord would unite our hearts and preserve us from division and would make us one in our love for Christ. And I pray that pretty much every Sunday and have for 10 years. And I look around and I see that, yes, folks come and go. Sometimes they're happy when they go, and sometimes they're not. But by the grace of God, the Lord has knit our hearts together in a way that is remarkable. And I'm thankful that He has answered that prayer, and that He makes us whole, that He makes us one in Christ. Yes, with the church invisible, but here in the visible church as well, He's granted us a little taste of His glorious heaven and the unity that is there as we walk together in oneness of heart. And so I want to speak about hearts that are united, and particularly as this psalm develops it, united in certain ways. And the first one is that verses 1 and 2 make it clear that the hearts that David is speaking about, our hearts must be united in love for the Lord's house. In love for the Lord's house. Now, it really is true that when you're starting a church, folks really come with all kinds of ideas of what should be done and how it should be done. One of the blessings of being a Presbyterian is that we already have a book of government and a book of discipline, and we already have a confession of faith, doctrinal statement. All of that's already there. If we're going to be here, that's what we have. So we don't have a committee discussion to decide what we believe. It's like, do you believe? Here it is. Is this what you believe? Great. You're here. You're good. And we don't really reinvent the wheel with how to run the church. It's been pretty well established for several hundred years. So we finesse it a little bit for our local situation, right, through bylaws, and that we did have a lot of discussion on, but that discussion is governed by the larger, more broad documents. And so when we come to this place with oneness of mind about those things, and recognize that, okay, the mechanics, yeah, here's this is what the mechanics are, this is the, how, logistically how it's all supposed to work, this is what we do, great, that saves a lot of wear and tear on all of us, so that we can get to the business of loving each other and loving what God has done in uniting people to the visible church. Now, you know, there are many that have cast off institutional Christianity, and sometimes for reasons you look at and go, yeah, can't really blame them in their personal situation because of abuses, because of harms, because of errors that have been made or said. And it's unfortunate, in fact, more than unfortunate, it's tragic that situations like that often lead people to cast off what God has ordained because of the challenges of the moment, because of people who messed up or outright sinned. And so consequently think, well, it's all because it's organized and institutional. It's like, no, it's because people are sinners. And God ordained that there be a visible church, and He appointed officers, He appointed order, He appointed principles of discipline and edification and service and all those other things to be done within the company of those who are numbered among the congregation. And there is order, there is discipline, there is accountability, there's all of those things. And over again, you see in the Old Testament as well as in the New, that in spite of the sins of people, those who are faithful to Christ love God's body, whether it's the congregation of Israel or the church of Jesus Christ. That love is there. And if our hearts are united in love, it goes a long ways toward helping us deal with the prickly edges that we all have and that can sometimes hurt when we rub up against each other in close quarters. How is that love expressed? Verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. This love is expressed through humble fellowship. It's interesting. This is David, King David. Now, just think about that for a second. He's the king. Does he need anybody? Or do you think he really wants anybody to come tell him how he's supposed to do things or where he's supposed to go? You know, that's not the way kings usually work, right? But here's King David who says, I was glad when they, whoever they is, come up to me and says, hey, let's go to the Lord's house. Let's go worship together. Instead of David going, I don't need you to tell me that. I'm the king. Of course, I'll go when I want to. No, none of that nonsense. He's like, the underlings are suggesting to him that he goes, and he is delighted. That expresses humility to me. This sentiment is echoed in the prophet Zechariah, where in chapter 8 we read, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. There's an eagerness to come along together and worship God in the presence of His people. So we are united in love for the Lord's house, expressed in fellowship, and expressed, as that verse there in Zechariah especially would lead us into the next point, expressed through a readiness to worship. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. It's like, I'm here. I'm ready. I can't wait for the gates to open to the tabernacle so I can go and worship and sacrifice and pray and come before the Lord. As the psalmist would say in Psalm 1, the man is blessed whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. This readiness to worship, readiness to come into the Lord's house in fellowship with God's people, our hearts need to be united in the love for the Lord's house. Secondly, verses 3 through 5 express something about the purpose of what all of this is about. So in verse 3, we read about Jerusalem that's built as a city. It's the old word is compact together. It's bound firmly together, united or to be joined together. Now there's a diversity of tribes, all the tribes of the Lord that are spoken of there in verse 4. But Jerusalem is all united together, and it's interesting in verse 4, to which the tribes go up, as was decreed for Israel, the same term that is used of the Lord's creating the world out of nothing, bara, is used in this verse to describe the Lord binding Jerusalem together. Basically, it's not about how wonderful Israel was, right? It was about how great God is. It's not about how wonderful we are. In many ways, if we took the time this morning to say, all right, where did you come from? What church background did you have? Tell us your testimony. The variety that would be here is immense. So in a sense, you know, from the world's perspective, and even from ours as we think about it, we can hardly get our heads around what God has done here. It doesn't really compute that the Lord would take all of us, in a sense, out of nothing and make us into something. It wasn't like all of us said, well, we are all born and raised Bible Presbyterians from the time we, you know, were infants in arms, so now we can, and on that basis, we can come together now and worship. It's not how it works, is it? We'd be pretty small. See, who's the only one that was an infant in arms as a Bible Presbyterian here? Me. Eli. Not even Mom, because she was saved later in life and became a Bible Presbyterian later in life. So, well, Eli, you and I are going to have a great time. Is that really what the church is all about? No. It's how the Lord pulls together everyone from everywhere to accomplish His purposes and raise up a testimony. And to love that and recognize that it's, yes, within the context of the Lord's house, the Lord has a purpose in all of this, a purpose that we often don't understand. Brother Angle spoke earlier of not, you know, of all the moves. And I'm sure there were times like, Lord, why? Why are you moving me now? I want to stay here. Why is this necessary? All right, we have to go here. Now we've got to go here. Now we've got to go there. And sometimes we wonder, what is the Lord's purpose in all of it? Well, we see some purposes here that are mentioned about halfway through verse 4, where it says that Jerusalem's all bound together, where the tribes go up, as was decreed for Israel. You know, as I said before, people join churches and want to start churches for all kinds of reasons. All kinds of reasons. Everybody comes with some kind of an agenda. Sometimes they're good agendas, sometimes they're not. But one of the things that blows up church plants, 4 out of 5 fail, statistically, is people don't get on board with the same purpose. And that you always go through those struggles, but it's hard to survive them apart from the grace of God, because you get competing interests. We've got to be united in purpose. And the purpose for Israel was decreed by God for Israel. It's about God's revelation. Are we committed to God's revelation in His Word, His purposes for us and for His church as a whole? If we are, then we have a strong chance, I'll use that word, don't really like it, but I'll say a strong chance of surviving. Because we're committed to the Lord's revelation, identifying with it. That's why we keep things up around here that remind us of God's providence and His Word. You see little plaques around and other things to keep us mindful of the Lord's revelation. That's why the Word of God is central to this ministry. We're united in that purpose. He's the one who sets it. He's the one who decrees it. Providentially, then, we walk in it. Along with identifying with His revelation, we're also united in the purpose of expressing gratitude, and particularly for God's character. Now, if you look at the last part of verse 4, it says, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. And that's speaking to His character. Now, it's not that we're not thankful for His deeds. We are. We rejoice in those as well. But particularly the focus here is that as the people come up together to worship God at the tabernacle in Jerusalem, they are rejoicing in the very character of their covenant-making and keeping God. Of course, His covenant name is being used there, Yahweh, all through this psalm. And you see it there at the end of verse 4. As we're reminded in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, also, I believe, David speaking here, O give thanks unto Yahweh, for He is good, and His mercy is forever. So we're united in purpose to identify with His revelation, to be connected to what He has revealed about Himself to us, and to be grateful for His very character. And in light of those things, then verse 5, there thrones for judgment were set, thrones of the house of David. This follows right along the idea of the decrees. But it speaks to a purpose that we are, as a body, committed to submitting to Yahweh's authority. We've talked a lot about submitting to authority over the past several weeks, haven't we? And it's got to start there. It's got to start with submitting to His authority. If we start there, then all the other questions become easier to answer when it comes to the human authorities. But we've got to submit to Yahweh's authority. He alone is King. He is alone of the Lord of our conscience. And He is the one to whom we have to answer. And so we need to be committed to that. If you are, we come to this church because all because of the pastor or because of the elders or because of the name or because of whatever else, that's the wrong focus. Church splits happen because people want to have their preeminence among their brothers and sisters and start a party spirit going and all of that, looking to try to steer people's loyalty away from one authority to another. We've had a wonderful decade of existence and ministry. To endure, we must continue to be committed to submitting to the Lord's authority no matter what. All right, and finally, our hearts must be united in a desire for peace. Verses 6 through 9. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of Yahweh our God, I will seek your good. The Lord desires that we would be at ease and we would prosper it's about being secure who love you. May they prosper. Same word. Quiet, be at ease. When you're quiet and at ease, there's a nuance to this word that's kind of cool. It's we would say be easygoing. When everything's quiet and at ease, I know that at the end of the day, I'm sure someone else in this room feels the same way. But at the end of the day, when I put my firearm off my hip and on my shelf and I sit down, because I'm at ease within the security of my home, there's a peace that's about that. And I can let my guard down a little bit. I can be easygoing and at peace. That's the nuance here. Not the firearm part, but the being at ease part. Right? And that's what's going on here. This is what we're praying for. We're praying for a situation where the swords can be laid down. And we're praying ultimately that the church militant will eventually all be united with the church triumphant as war is over and we have absolute total peace within the church. It'd be wonderful to say that even now, that when you come into here, come into this place, even to this local assembly, that you'll never have a cross word, you'll never have a time of difficulty or anguish with somebody, you'll never have a disagreement. Wouldn't that be nice? But we do have a little taste of it in this wonderful congregation as we come together and we're at peace with one another. We don't walk in and go, "Oh, here comes Charles. What's he going to say to me?" No, don't do that. Or here comes Tom. Sometimes I wonder what he's going to say to me, but it's usually because it's going to be some good-natured ribbing that goes on, and that's great. But we have this peace and this, we're not at war with one another. The arms are laid down. So hearts that are united in that kind of desire, for that kind of peace, to desiring the prosperity of the Lord's people. In verse 6, the peace of Jerusalem, may they be secure. Pray for that prosperity. Pray that your brothers and sisters will be at ease, will be secure in the Lord and in their souls. Pray for the prosperity of the Lord's business. Look at verse 7, peace within your walls and security within your towers. So this is a reference basically to the kingdom of God, this place of security. Not just the people there, but what the Lord has as He's established us. We have work to do. And we're operating from a position of strength because we have God's Word. So pray that God's Word will go forth. Pray that God's church will be defended, particularly in this day, right? When the church is being attacked on all sides. Seek first His kingdom. Pray for these things. Pray that the Lord's business will prosper. And then pray for and desire the prosperity, the peace of the Lord's governors. Look what it says in verse 7. For my brothers and companions, or security within your towers, for my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. Pray for those that are over you. Pray for certainly leaders in the church, but also leaders in our nation, as we've already prayed today, that they would be at ease in their faithful service for the Lord. We live in a day, you know, we think about the pressures that are upon us to compromise as individuals. Think about the pressures that are upon government officials to compromise what is right. The pressures are enormous and many cave. From local level all the way to national level. Because the pressures are just so huge. Because they are constantly under siege. Pray for their peace. Pray for their ability to be able to let down their guard and be at ease, knowing that they are safe in the hands of their God. Our hearts must be united, dear friends, if we are to go forward. You could read Psalm 133. I won't take time to do that this morning. It speaks to how blessed it is when people dwell together in unity. But that is what we desire here, a unified testimony together of oneness in the Lord Jesus Christ, with hearts that are united in love for the Lord's house, united in their purpose to serve God as He has revealed His will to us and His character, and hearts that are united in desiring peace and security for one another and praying earnestly for it. That is my desire for this congregation. And that is what we will continue to strive for by the grace of God during the next 10 years. Let us link arms and link hearts together in this resolve to be united under Christ in our hearts one with the other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this precious passage. And as we've been able to spend a few minutes in it, Lord, I pray that you would hear our prayer. Hear our prayer, Lord, to be one with each other, to not allow our own sinfulness or the challenges that others have to drive wedges between us. Lord, may our testimony to Christ be unsullied in our community. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony that you have already given to us. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage us in doing well. And as our brothers have encouraged us in their greetings today, to not grow weary in doing what you have called us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.